Praise Jesus, praise God. Trust that you are well, that the Lord is keeping, watching over your life. Dear, it's another good morning that we have to listen to the Word of God. And we carry on with our study. We are in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Today we shall be able to look at the ministry of the Spirit, or the ministry of the glory of the new covenant. You know, one of the things that we understand is that there was a ministry of the old covenant, and this was by the law. This was administered by Moses. Remember, Moses, by commandment of God, ascended up Mount Sinai. He was able to receive the two tablets of stone, in which God had written the old covenant, 10 rules by which they were to live by. And God asked them, will you live by it? If you do this, I will bless you, I will watch over you, I will protect you, I will make you the head, not the tail, I will take away sickness from your midst. And the people said, yes, we will do. And then he also told them, if you don't do it, I am going to curse you. There's going to be curses for you in the city, curses in the countryside. You're going to face all the plagues that the children of Egypt faced. And the people said, yes, we agree. And the Bible tells us that when that happened, there was no problem with the law, with the Ten Commandments, but fault was found with the people, because there was something about the heart of man that could not keep the commandment of God, was always inclined to evil. And God said, I will establish a new covenant with the people of Israel. It will not be as the covenant I made with their fathers, that where they were led astray, but I will establish a new covenant in which I will write their laws in their hearts. I will give them a new heart. I will cause them to obey me. And so we see that a new covenant is established by Jesus, in which he causes us to obey him. By the Spirit of God that lives inside of us, he enables us to know God. He enables us to obey God. He enables us to be led by him. We hear his voice, and he regenerates us from the inside out. The focus then no longer becomes that we are looking to avoid the curse. We are, you know, doing things on our own effort. But now he becomes the one that works in us to will and to do according to his good pleasure. This is a ministry of the Spirit. And not only are we away from God, as it were, in the old covenant, but he lives inside of us. He is within us. And one of the things that happens is that in the new covenant, or in the ministry of the Spirit, the veil is taken away in Christ. And that's very, very important word for us to understand today, how that veil is taken away from us in Christ. And maybe let's just read, and then we'll be able to speak about it. So we'll read from verse 4, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, from verse 4. The Bible says, and we have such trust through Christ toward God, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves, but our sufficiency is from God, who also made us as ministers, or able ministers, made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. And verse 7, but if the ministry of death, and here he's speaking about the old covenant, he refers it as the ministry of death. Remember, it was, if you do this, I will bless you. If you don't do it, I will curse you. So there was a curse of the law, but Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, because it is written that cursed is he that hangs on a tree. So in the new covenant, that curse is taken away. So the Bible says, verse 7, but if the ministry of death, written and engraved on stones. That means the ministry of death, the old covenant, was written and engraved on stones, tablets. Remember, God gave Moses the tablets of stone where the Ten Commandments were written. And the Bible says, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses because of the glory of his countenance, which glory was passing away. How will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? Now, just think about it, that when Moses came out from the mountain, the Bible tells us that his face was shining. His face was shining, and him himself did not know that his face was shining. And so the people were afraid of him when they came. You can imagine someone is walking from the mountain and you're seeing his face is shining like a torch or like glowing with light. He was in the presence of God. He received the glory of God, and he was being transformed into the image of God. But one of the things that happened is that when the people saw him, they were afraid. And Moses called them. He motioned to them to come to him. And when they came, he realized their fear. Then he put a veil. A veil is like a curtain. He put a cloth over his face. And he will speak to the people through the veil. But then the Bible tells us when he went back into the tent of meeting where he spoke with God, he removed the veil and he spoke with God face to face. Now Moses, when he encountered God, when he spoke with God, he received the glory of God and his face was shining. But when he went to the people were afraid of the glory of God on his face. They asked Moses to cover his face, and he speaks to them through the veil. And that veil brings a blindness, because we see how, I don't understand why people will not want to experience what Moses was experiencing, where he has the opportunity to speak to God face to face, to receive the glory of God, to behold the glory of God. But they want that glory to be hidden, and they want to hear the voice of God through a veil. Sadly, this is what the old covenant does. It blinds people. People think that they have to go through someone, they have to go through certain processes, they have to offer certain sacrifices, they have to, you know, to do so many rituals that will make God love them or will get them closer to God. Yet when we come to Christ, we are already in the place where we have pleased God. We please God through Christ, because Christ has already fulfilled the entire law. Christ has fulfilled the law of the old covenant. He has fulfilled it. He has fulfilled the righteousness that God demands. He has fulfilled every requirement of God. The Bible tells us that he was tempted in every way, in all these points, and yet was found without sin. He was the perfect sacrifice. He still is the perfect sacrifice that God accepts. He took his blood and took it to that inner sanctuary, to that sanctuary in heaven, not made by human hands, and he placed our blood on the mercy seat. And that is why when God looks at us, we that are in Christ, he sees the blood of Jesus. And that blood speaks mercy, it speaks forgiveness, it speaks favor, it speaks healing. And that blood is greater than any blood. It's greater than the blood of Abel, it's greater than the blood of bulls and goats. That is the blood that forgives us. And the Bible tells us they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. So this blood is what gives us the victory. And so in the ministry of the Spirit, because the blood was shed, the Holy Spirit was given to us to come as a gift, as a seal. He comes and lives inside of us, and he is the one that transforms us into sons of God. That is when we are born from above. We are regenerated. We are spiritually renewed. We are spiritually born. We receive the heavenly man, the man from above, and he lives inside of us. And our inner man is transformed by the Spirit into the very image of God. In fact, the Bible says we are created in true holiness. You that are born again, you are made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That righteousness means that you are accepted of God. It means that your nature is regenerated, that you don't have a nature of sin, that you can no longer be a slave to sin. You are made in the image and likeness of God. In fact, you are made, you're conformed to the image of the Son. When the Son is the exact radiance of the glory of God, we are conformed in the image of the Son, and we are made brothers after him. This is the beauty of the new covenant. We are made like Christ. And Christ himself is not ashamed to call us his brothers. God desired, God was delighted in bringing many sons into glory. In fact, God desired a family. Yes, he had the son, but he wanted others. He wanted men. He wanted men who would believe in him, to receive him. As many as received him, as many as believed in his name, he gave them the power to become sons of God. That power is exousia, is a right, is a license. You are given a certain authority by which you can be called a son of God. You can have the Spirit of God in you that begots you, and you are spiritually begotten of the Father, and you are transformed into a new creation. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The old has gone and the new has come. And yet, and the only way that we continue to behold, the only way that we continue to reflect this glory, the only way that we continue to grow and to be transformed, to be more and more like God, is as we behold him, as we stay by his word, as by the Spirit of God we obey him, as by the Spirit of God he transforms us, he reflects his glory in us, and this glory is one that is not fading like the glory of Moses. Yes, those who live by the law, they have a certain glory, but that glory is fading. And Moses, in a way, had to hide that glory, because they could see that his glory was fading away. And at times that's what where people who live by the law are. They feel that the glory that they have is fading away, and they try to hide it in gimmicks. But you see, when you learn to behold the glory of God like a mirror, when you learn to sit at the feet of Jesus, when you learn to worship him, when you learn to spend time with him in intercession, in prayer, in listening to the word of God, that glory that he gives you cannot fade. You are transformed with an ever-increasing glory from one level of glory to another. So the Bible tells us, verse 7, but if the ministry of death written and engraved on stones was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not look steadily at the face of Moses, because of the glory of his countenance, of his face, which glory was passing away, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? Remember, the ministry of the Spirit is a far much superior ministry. The ministry, the glory of the new covenant is all surpassing. Verse 9, for if the ministry of condemnation had glory. You see, the old covenant has condemnation. But the Bible tells us there is no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. For the Spirit of life has set us free from the law of sin and death. If you are in Christ Jesus, there is no more condemnation. You are set free. So the Bible says, for if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness exceeds in much more glory. So we don't have a ministry of condemnation. The old covenant had a ministry of condemnation. And maybe today you're feeling condemned. You've messed up. In one way or another, you've sinned against God. And you wonder that, can God ever forgive you? I want to assure you that we do not have a ministry of condemnation. That when you come to the Spirit, you receive a ministry of righteousness. And when you submit yourself to God, when you ask Him for forgiveness, when you wholeheartedly listen to the voice of the Spirit that has told you where you have failed, and by that Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the flesh, you put to death. When you put to death everything that is of the enemy, then by life and by the Spirit of God, you experience a renewal of life. You experience the righteousness of God, and that condemnation is lifted up. The Bible says the ministry of righteousness exceeds in much more glory, is even more glorious. In fact, King James puts it as the all-surpassing glory. Oh, there is an all-surpassing glory of the new covenant. What does the ministry of the Spirit mean? It just means that you are sowing to the Spirit. By obedience to the Spirit, it's listening to the voice of God. It's being led by the voice of God. Is obedience to the voice of God. Is hearing Him when you have messed up, He guides you. You confess and you feel that release. Is being sensitive to His nudges, to His voice, to His leading. Is when you're sensitive to Him. This is the ministry of the Spirit. And that is why Jesus said, when the Spirit comes, He shall guide you into all truth. He shall not speak of His own, but He shall take from Me, and He shall make it known to you. In fact, He has revealed to us all things. No eye has seen, no ear has heard what the Lord has prepared for them that love Him and are called according to His purpose. And the Bible tells us that God has revealed these things to us by His Spirit. If you're lacking in glory, it's because you have not allowed the ministry of the Spirit to lead you into that glory. Ask Him today, Holy Spirit, what is it that I am missing? Holy Spirit, walk with me, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, show me that which I need to do. And as He leads you on the paths of righteousness. Remember, the Holy Spirit was given to us as a seal, marking our inheritance, guaranteeing our inheritance. So you have the deposit within you. You have the seal of God. You have that mark of approval of God. You have that guidance, the Paracletos, the one that walks with you, that leads you into the glory that excels. Oh, you are excelling. You are all surpassing in glory. You are growing from one level of glory to another. You are not staying the same. Each and every day that you listen to His voice, that you listen to the Word of God, that you see how He stops you, how He guides you, how He shows you the way, how He directs you, how He corrects you. As you listen, listen to the Spirit of God, my children. This is what God says. Listen, listen, listen. This is God in you. This is God with you. This is God in your spirit. This is God giving you life. Life. You are born again, born of the Spirit. Except a man be born again, born of the water and of the Spirit, He cannot see the kingdom of God. He cannot enter the kingdom of God. You are born of the Spirit. So submit yourselves to the ministry of the Spirit. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, I stand before your presence with your people, O God, to say thank you for the Holy Spirit. Forgive us for the many times we have not heeded to your voice as you have wanted us to, because you desire to lead us into glory. And I pray today for a willingness to obey, a willingness to be led to life by the Spirit that brings life, that leads us to life. May we not stay in death. May we not stay in condemnation. May we not think it's our own effort. You have given us yourself, the Spirit, as an advantage for us. I pray for my brother, my sister, who has not surrendered to the will of God. May you cleanse them. May you forgive them. May you walk with them. Even they that want to know you, to be accepted as a child, receive them today. Walk with them, guide them, and protect them, O God. Be with us this day. I pray that eyes be open, veils be removed. May we see this union, this immaculate union, that the world will never understand, the fellowship of the mystery, how you have united us, I in you and we in us. You in us, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Shalom, beloved, and have a blessed, blessed day ahead. Bye-bye.